Welcome to the club, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Eldar Basic, and I'm joined here by Dan. Today we have a really good episode for you guys today. But yesterday, you know, last week we had a really exciting episode. We interviewed one of the NFT, I guess, partners with Sports Illustrated and a couple other really big names. And I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was our first interview. Looking forward, we will be doing more interviews with big projects like one of. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed it. I think we have a Twitter Spaces with them coming up next week, but I'll talk more about Twitter Spaces at the end of the episode. But Dan, my friend, we have some pretty big funding news this week, if you'd like to go ahead and tell our audience about that a little bit.
Yeah, we love that you guys just love hearing all the awesome news around funding. So you know, so this is pretty big here. So if you keep up on some business news or tech news, the news is now that Polygon has received about $450 million, I believe it was, in funding to basically start building out more technologies that will be similar to AWS, Amazon Web Services. So this is a pretty big step for Polygon, especially considering our scaling solutions. So, you know, having a decentralized version of AWS is pretty cool, I do have to say.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Dan. Well, thanks for catching us up on that. We have a pretty cool, episode today. We're going to be talking a little bit about, collectibles and NFT collectibles and stuff like that. Stuff that you can actually not tangibly hold in the blockchain, but stuff that is just fun to collect. Like you and I, you know, we have a history of, you know, collecting Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and stuff like that. And, you know, I just want to kind of open it up to you and really just kind of pick your brain about where you see NFT collectibles going in the future, how they're being implemented now, maybe outside of like profile pictures and stuff like that. Like, what do you think would be kind of cool?
Yeah. I mean, like, you've seen my like Pokemon museum and like that I have in my house and like my collections of Pokemon cards that like spans like a couple of binders actually, and my Yu-Gi-Oh collection. So, I mean, you know, it's almost a psychological thing to an extent about collecting, that people just like collecting things. And it's something that just releases like a dopamine rush into your brain. Like when you get like that new pack of, you know, maybe for some people it's baseball cards or it's Pokemon cards or it's Yu-Gi-Oh cards, and they open it up and you don't know what you're going to get. And then it turns out that you get like some sort of like shiny, you know, ultra rare kind of card. And then like, you know, you're super happy and you start to want to keep digging in. And, you know, it kind of gives you that effect of, you know, like a gambling sort of effect. And it's something that has been replicated in other games now. Like, for example, Overwatch, there was this whole thing about loot boxes. And other games too, like Hearthstone, you can buy packs of cards and open it up. And you don't know what you're necessarily going to be getting. But with NFTs and with Web3 and, you know, blockchain games, and not just blockchain games, but like essentially even like some of these collectible platforms here, like Vivi, for example, you can actually buy digital like action figures, digital statues, or digital posters, and you can actually have those stored like through like token. Basically, they're all tokenized, and you can basically store them on your own crypto wallets if you wanted to. So it's sometimes with an NFT drop, you don't know what you're going to be getting at all, and it's kind of the same effect that you know what you're going to be getting. And you want to put money into this in hopes that you're going to get something really rare or something very valuable. And you're going to keep doing it and doing it until you actually get that thing. So it's something that a lot of NFT drops have been doing. And it's regardless if you're with like a more centralized platform like Nifty, or if you're just producing your own NFT drop and, you know, you're using some sort of, you know, like self-coded web page to just produce profile pictures, you don't know what you're ever going to be getting. And that's what makes NFTs just really exciting and why a lot of people are just starting to collect them now. Now, NFTs have just given birth to this whole new era of digital collectibles. Look at Dapper Labs with the NBA Top Shot. They actually have packs that you can buy and open. And when you open up those packs, you don't know what you're going to be getting exactly either. And when you open it up, you can be getting a rare NBA player card or something like that. And you can also trade those in the marketplace. So all these things, unlike with Hearthstone or with some of these other card games, you can actually keep these cards on a wallet, and you could trade them on several different marketplaces. So it's opening up a whole new possibility to collectibles. And it's not just trading cards, it's it's figurines, it's other things. And you could see this with Vivi. Vivi is a mobile NFT platform, and they have big brands like Disney and Marvel, and people actually pay like maybe $7 to buy a comic book, a digital comic book, NFT comic book, and they can actually read this through an augmented reality scope on their phone, mm-hmm. or they can actually take that comic book and then sell it on the marketplace. So I've done a little bit of Vivi myself. It is pretty fun, but that's where I just started to see like NFTs are essentially like trading cards or these loot boxes, but you actually have complete ownership of it, and you can essentially take the token around with you wherever you want to go and store it however you want.
Yeah. I think that was very well said. I think that your mention of Hearthstone is very apt. I think that other games like Gods Unchained and Polygon's own Skyweaver do a really good job of implementing like trading card mechanics and collectible card mechanics to the blockchain. I think that's a marriage that makes a lot of sense, right? But I also really liked what you said about, you know, you brought up action figures and stuff like that. And, you know, I know that, you know, I don't know if you build Gundam kits yourself. I know that you're a Gundam.
I've done a couple.
There you go. Well, I like the idea of, I don't know if this might be like too pie in the sky, right? But I like the idea of blockchain, you know, sort of like model building, like piecing together parts of an NFT to create a bigger one. Obviously, like we've seen some projects at Polygon Studios that do that really well. One that comes to mind is like a proof of concept would be Castle. They basically were a puzzle related or a puzzle based NFT project that took a lot of different NFTs and combined into one NFT. And I think that shows that it's possible to, you know, bridge assets to create something cool like this. So I like the idea of like action figures and like stuff that I think the key is like stuff that's tangible in the real world. Bring that over to the blockchain is super, it's exciting to me personally. And I think that I think it opens up an entirely new avenue of collecting. Like, I don't know if you collect pops, right? But you know, having pops, like pops.
Vinyls?
Like the vinyl yeah. figures, right? Like pops by nature, I mean, they are rare, but they're not sealed rare, right? No pop is sealed in store. Like you can open them up no matter what. They're not taped in or like styrofoamed in or anything like that. So you just open it up and do that. And so I'm wondering like to see something like that on the blockchain would be pretty cool. And I mean, companies like Vivi are introducing new concepts outside of like the trading card, you know, the trading card avenue to let people, you know, see collectibles and like comic books and stuff like that, you know, digitally. And I don't know what it is. There's something about the feeling of collecting something digitally that is just as exciting as collecting it physically, but it's all, and I don't know about you, but like, you know, I think it's in a lot of ways, not as good, but in a lot of ways better because it doesn't actually take up tangible space in your house. So it's a little easier to organize, in my opinion. I think it just makes a lot of sense for the OCDs out there like me that just have too much stuff but don't really feel like dusting everything. Seeing everything in a digital, you know, sort of trophy room, so to speak, has always been enticing to me ever since I was young, you know, just like collecting stuff digitally. And now actually being able to verify ownership of it is really cool. But Okay. So yeah, cool. I think we're on the same page here with like what we want to see. Like, are there any big properties you'd love to see and be able to collect online that you can't right now?
Well, actually, before I hit upon that, I just wanted to mention one thing is what you said prior is 100%, you know, accurate. And what I think, why exactly I think that NFT collecting is going to be, you know, even more popular in the future is because mm-hmm. it doesn't take up that physical space. And you know, I remember when I was younger, I used to collect like, you know, little McDonald's toys and, you know, all these other little toys from Burger King. And, you know, I dug up some of my old stuff like last year. And when I was going through my closet, I just found some of these old Burger King toys and like, you know, they're made out of plastic and the plastic starting to like corrode a little, you know, get like a little bit like yellow, or if it was made out of metal or some sort of, you know, like some sort of metals in it, it's starting to mm-hmm. corrode and rust up and, you know, yeah. just stuff like that. Like you don't, you know, when you kind of forget about it for a long time, it just takes up space and you forget where it is. But when it's stored digitally, I mean, well, okay, you can still misplace it if you forget like your wallet or something like that, or, you know, lose access to your wallet, but you can actually, I think like, you know, having it stored there won't take up space in your house. And if you mind your passwords and, you know, keep good track of your, you know, private keys and everything like that with your crypto wallets, you would be able to, you know, access it again. And it's always there. And, you know, given with the whole rise of metaverse technology, there might be even more stuff that you can do with it, like show it off in your cool little digital room in, you know, in Decentraland or something like that. But yeah, in regards to collectibles that I would really like to see, you know what? I would like to see more classic McDonald's toys. Like, do you remember like the Power Rangers toys? Do you remember those like for the first movie that came out?
A little bit, but I know exactly what type of nostalgia you're honing in on here.
Yeah,
like, I remember really old one. That would be cool. I wonder if Burger King missed the opportunity to do this, but there were some really cool Burger King projects. Or sorry, really cool like Burger King toys back in the day, like Inspector Gadget.
I don't know if you remember that one.
That's another one that like kind of that's what I'm talking about. Like putting stuff together to make a full thing. Although I remember as a kid being really annoyed because like I, you know, every toy would be like randomly generated. So you couldn't like, it'd be really hard to piece together. But I remember getting like three of like his left leg in a row.
Yeah.
Being annoyed by that. So if they could fix that, that'd be great. But yeah, the Power Rangers one that I like, that one's familiar to me. I remember like the Rugrats ones.
The Rugrats ones were great. Yeah.
There was like the watches. Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean,
dude, of course, I would,
because we mentioned Pokemon on every single episode. Of course, the Pokemon one from Burger King. But, yes, you know, those are great. I mean, it's a collectible. That's why it's going to get mentioned all the time. But, you know, McDonald's used to do Yu-Gi-Oh cards too.
There was this app. So just for everybody listening, like I guess I should announce and reveal that I am really OCD when it comes to the games I play. Like I track each game I play and like, you know, track the percentages of like which ones I complete, which ones like I abandon and stuff like that. And I remember really wanting to do that for comics and collectibles, but there wasn't really a good way to do it. Like you'd have to, like there was an app for, you know, action figures and stuff like that. And like I like collecting like Gundams and like anime figures and stuff like that. And really the only way to import those at the time was to import them via like barcode on the back of the box. But like, who has a barcode for every single thing? Like, I don't have any barcodes at all for anything. So that was kind of an issue that I'm glad, and I think I'm starting to see people focus on and develop towards like bringing these tangible things digitally. Another company I think, Dan, that you and I have worked with is called Epico Regal. And I think they work with like AR action figures and like digital collectibles and stuff like that too. I know there's a lot of other projects too, but that one really stands out to me.
Yeah. But I mean, how would you feel if some of these collectibles were tied, like tethered to an actual like real action figure or comic or something like that? Sort of like what Parallels is kind of doing with their trading cards, and what I've heard like some other fashion brands do with their own physical products that they tie them to the NFT.
I've been hearing about that as well. Obviously, that's super cool. And I know that not so much these days, but there was a time where you would get an action figure and there would be like a slip inside, like a piece of paper that would give you something digitally, but never anything of like actual value, right? But if you were to get like a Transformers toy from Target and inside was a digital collectible, right? Kind of like 100 Thieves did, like a rotating version of that. Dude, awesome. That'd be super cool, in my opinion. I would love to see that personally. And like, I don't know, it just opens up this entire world of collecting that I just don't think existed prior. But either way, did you have any final thoughts on this topic before we head into talking about the hype zone?
I mean, I just, you know, think it's, for some people, it's a little bit of a weird concept to grasp overall, just owning something in the digital space. And it is something that's really strange, but we just don't know where it's going at this point. But at I think just, you know, having that physical 3D model of, you know, Ultraman or something like that is pretty awesome. And, you know, while having the physical one in your room or something like that could definitely be pretty cool. I mean, I, you know, if I had like a, I don't know, like a 12-foot something statue of Ultraman in my house. That things, unless if like I had a huge house, then yeah, that would be pretty cool. But like, what are you going to do with it? Like 5 years down the road, you probably want to get rid of it. I think, you know, give it a, you know, definitely give it a chance. Like I really got into the VV comics, for example. They're really fun. They have actually a little bit of utility because you can actually read the comic. And that's what made me really excited for these sort of collectibles. I can understand like maybe statues or some sort of figures might be a little bit iffy at this point, but some stuff like, you know, trading cards and definitely collectible comics is something I think a lot more people have been embracing a lot more.
Yes, I know we are big fans of VV here at Polygon Studios. I don't think we have anything to do with them personally, but they're a really cool project. And yeah, like you said, like, yeah, absolutely. Utility is also important. The ability to actually read the comics on VV is really cool. And yeah, I think utility is the name of the game. And another thing with action figures and stuff like that, I haven't personally toyed around with any major action figure, you know, AR NFT projects, but the ability to pose them, just saying, that'd be really cool. That'd be really cool.
Just saying, guys.
Just an idea. All right, let's go ahead and get into the hype zone. I'd like to kick things off with mentioning that NFT trading card game Skyweaver is finally in open beta, which is really cool because we have a Twitter Spaces coming up with them where we're going to be talking about a few things we can't reveal just yet, but yeah, stay tuned for that. That's going to be on Polygon Studios. That's going to be on the Twitter. Another thing is, I think, Dan, correct me if I'm wrong here, but the public beta, it's done through code, right? I don't know if it's open, but actually, no, that's not true. It's emerging. It is open. Yes, it's emerging from private beta. You were able to play that, I think, last month, and now it's public, so you can get your hands on it. Skyweaver is a really fun game to play. I think one thing that stands out to me about Skyweaver is that it has a really strong tutorial. It does onboarding to its like actual gameplay better than a lot of other games. I would say. Also, the gameplay is strong as well. The art also is beautiful. I have a Skyweaver wallpaper right now. So I think what they're doing is really cool. And I'm glad that more people now have the opportunity to enjoy the game. And, you know, it kind of goes back to our conversation earlier in the podcast about digital collectibles and trading cards. And I think Skyweaver is the one right now that's doing it right. And we're happy to have them on Polygon and work with them from Polygon Studios. So it's very exciting. Dan, I believe that you wanted to go ahead and talk about Eternity Chain.
Eternity Chain, yeah. So we just wanted to give a quick shout out to Eternity Chain. They're a Polygon Studios portfolio company, and they actually just raised about $20 million in their fundraiser. So if you don't know who or what Eternity Chain does, basically it's an NFT marketplace, but they authorize and basically have a little seal of approval on a lot of NFTs. So they just have a way to approve that these NFTs that feature really high class or really popular sporting athletes or other sporting teams are actually official and have actually been approved by them. They're not just some other sort of copy that somebody right click saved as on. So this is a really good step for them. They featured works from, I believe, Muhammad Ali, Tony Hawk, Pele, who is a football player. Really great marketplace. They're working to get a lot of big name athletes into Web3, and yeah, excited to see them get this fundraiser and successfully get it funded.
Yeah, I invested in Eternity Chain. I mean, you know, just a little transparency a while ago. So I'm glad to see them, you know, continuing their traction. It's very cool to see. Cool. So the next thing I wanted to let you guys know about, I think maybe in the tradition of talking about trading card battlers, Skyweaver, you know, we just mentioned, but I want to talk about Spellfire. Spellfire is a very, I would say, similar to in the same genre as Skyweaver, except their art is a little bit different. Their art is a little more realistic, and their game is a little closer to Magic the Gathering than, let's say, Skyweaver is to Hearthstone, right? But the cool thing is that the team over at Spellfire put together a special polygon card, and the alpha today is that they're doing a giveaway, a Spellfire Remaster the Magic $8,000 giveaway that you can join by going over to the Spellfire Twitter and pretty much just signing up. So some of the prizes include $2,000 worth of Spellfire tokens split among, I think, 100 randomly selected winners. We would love for those winners to be Polygon, the Polygon community and the Polygon ecosystem. But on top of that, they're giving away three original NFT cards, which are valued at about like $750 each, split amongst the top three participants. And of course, we'd love for those to be Polygon Polygon faithful. And they're just giving out a bunch of other things. One of those is a Polygon amulet card, which is really cool because I've never seen the Polygon logo in like a medieval Lord of the Ringsian, Game of Thronesian, Eldritch sort of like setting. But it looks really cool. And if you guys saw us, we did retweet that on the Polygon Studios Twitter. But for iteration, just head over to Spellfire on Twitter or spellfire.io and check them out there, and you can learn all about the giveaway. And I think it's just a really exciting opportunity. And much like Skyweaver, I think they're just a really cool project that we're proud to back at Polygon Studios. And Dan, I'll give it up to you. We'll take it away from the video games.
But just want to say it's kind of funny how, you know, for the Hype Zone, we had a lot of trading card projects, and we were just going over about collectibles. So pretty cool. Well, yeah,
keep it real here, man.
Skyweaver is definitely cool. Spellfire, you know, if you're into Magic the Gathering or, you know, Dungeons and Dragons type of stuff, then yeah, definitely, you know, give them a look. So I also wanted to discuss a little bit here about NFT ticketing, and a company called Oviat is actually really working to, I said that right, correct? Oviat?
Yeah. Oviat,
All right, just making sure. Oviat has actually been working to not just like revolutionize the NFT ticketing process, but has actually been working not to just revolutionize NFT ticketing, but also the process of NFT ticketing and creating the tickets themselves. So pretty much with Oviat, you can create your own tickets. And if you are hosting an event or if you put on events regularly, you can actually start using NFT technology and Web3 to develop NFT tickets for, you know, if you're hosting a concert or some sort of event, for your event goers to basically purchase and then use to gain access into that event. So completely, completely customizable. You can make tickets however you want them to look, or, you know, give them any sort of shape or any sort of design. And on top of that, they've also been having other artists and musicians already using their platform to promote their own events and using the NFT tickets for those events. So definitely check out Oviat. And lastly, we wanted to give a little bit of a shout out to our friends over at Unstoppable Domains. They just released 99.NFT domains that were all minted on Polygon. So if you don't know who Unstoppable Domains are and what they do, Unstoppable Domains is a Web3 domain name company. So pretty much all domains that are provided through their platform are in fact NFTs. You own that domain name, and it's not just being rented out like how people use ENS, where you have to pay like, I think, a yearly fee or some sort of fee every so often, where you have to pay, I think it's like $200 in ETH or something like that. This is 100% one-time purchase, and it's 100% yours to keep. So these 99 NFT domains are right now for sale on Polygon. Definitely go check them out. And yeah, Unstoppable Domains, I have a couple of them myself, so nice. They're really cool.
I don't own any, but I've been watching it a little bit, so I think that I'll probably jump in at some point. I think Unstoppable Domains is a really cool project. I think we've been working with them since I started here, so that we definitely have some history with them. But Dan, thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing.
Yep, anytime.
So yeah, a couple things. You know, I just some quick housekeeping that I wanted to touch on since, you know, last week we had our first interview podcast, so we didn't get a chance to really talk about, you know, some of the goings on, what's happening at Polygon Studios. But it was actually kind of a big week. We had the We had the 100 Thieves thing happen, which is really cool that we did that on Polygon.
Yeah,
that was really cool. I got mine. Did you get yours?
I got mine. Yep. I was on top of that. Thank God.
Yeah.
Did they sell out yet?
I don't know if they sold out, but I think they probably did. I don't know. I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think it was like an unlimited supply, was it? I know they sold 300,000.
Was it 30,000? I thought it was like 30,000 NFTs 30, or something.
It was either 30 or 300,000. Oh, 300, either way, it was a bunch. It was a bunch. I think, man, I'm starting to see the 100 Thieves thing being talked about on Twitter, like one of the first major, like, you know, successes for introducing like the gaming community to NFTs. And I think that's pretty spot on. I think that they did it right. It was free. It was painless. I think they did a really good job. I think
could also have been because they didn't really use the term NFT. They just kind of said it was collectible, but okay. I mean, you know, whatever floats their boat.
It was an interesting experiment for sure. But yeah. So also I know that ETH Denver is a big point of discussion here at Polygon Studios. I know that we're going to have like 30 people at ETH Denver, which is one of the biggest and longest running Ethereum events in the world. Our new CEO, Ryan Wyatt, will be there. Chad will be there. I will not be there, sadly, but Ernie will be there. And who is Ernie, you may ask? Well, if you've been listening to the Polygon Studios weekly briefing, you'll know that Ernie oversees our recruiting efforts. And we have a bunch of positions to be filled. So, you know, be sure to kind of, you know, check in and if you're looking for something in the Web3 space. And then there was the NFL thing that happened, which is crazy enough. Like, I mean, on top of the 100 Thieves thing, NFL partnered with Ticketmaster to, you know, do a NFT collection built on Polygon.
This is actually the second before they actually did a they were doing NFT ticketing. They issued some NFT tickets to some select games. And now they're doing a collection on Polygon. So, yeah, we've been getting some business with the NFL, which is awesome.
Very cool. It's very cool. Last week, we had a very sports-themed weekly briefing. I know that, we interviewed just to see one of Polygon Studios partner up with Sports Illustrated, that's huge. That's huge and super cool. And I think we had a really, really awesome and poignant conversation with them. That was a lot of fun. But yeah. And I think we also have a one-off Twitter Spaces coming up, but that's not really decided when. But by the time this posts, we would have announced it. So either way, the only other Twitter Spaces that we currently have scheduled is the Skyweaver Twitter Spaces with their community lead, and that is on February 17th. So that's going to be next Thursday. We're going to be really excited about that. That's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be me and the community lead, and Dan, if you wanted to jump in and, you know, join us, that'd be cool too. You're more than welcome. Cool. Since I know that Skyweaver is kind of our baby.
Yeah. Maybe I'll jump in. I'll make a little guest appearance.
That'd be cool. I think that would be cool for people that I see a lot of people, you know, that listen to the Crypto Arcade are also in the Twitter Spaces. So I think that'd be a cool little guest appearance. But I think that's it for this episode. Dan, did you have anything you wanted to sign off with before we head out?
Not much. I mean, just wanted to say, if you have a favorite digital collectible or NFT collectible that you guys enjoy, and if if you're a fan of the Crypto Arcade podcast, then let us know what digital collectibles are you going for, or, you know, what platforms do you use?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sounds good. We look forward to hearing that from you guys. All right. We're out.
You can catch a new episode of the Crypto Arcade Podcast every Tuesday. We record on Fridays and upload a brand spanking new episode each Tuesday. You can also catch our main guy, Chad, for a weekly video briefing over on the Polygon Studios YouTube, and that's every Wednesday. Be sure to follow Polygon Studios @_Polygon Studios on Twitter. Also, be sure to join our Discord to get in on all the fun.